Blog Talk Radio.
Tombstone, the dead man. They abandoned their belief in the supernatural. Now you are asking me to sabotage that achievement, to send them back into the dark ages of superstition and ignorance and fear? No!
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to The Pink Atheist. I'm your host, Rachel Johnson, and thanks for joining me this Tuesday. It is January the 23rd already, 2018. We have a few things we're going to get into today, some things that literally just came up and I'm learning about now. So I want to go over those, and let's get started. Now, last week, you probably heard people talking about it. It's been a big thing, and it continues to have backlash when it was said that during a meeting in the Oval Office, Donald Trump was asking why we have to accept people from, quote-unquote, shithole countries. Now, since then, there's been people saying, no, he said shithouse. And the White House at first didn't deny that it was said. Then a day later, Trump denied that it was said. Then later, other people said, no, he said shithouse instead of shithole. See the relevance and the difference there, because a shithouse is a shitty place, and a shithole is equally a shitty place. So it's offensive. And then to clarify, he wanted to let us know that he meant countries like Africa or Haiti, and he thinks, you know, and he didn't say it during that meeting, but he had said it at other times, that he thinks all Haitians have AIDS. So, you know, people were terribly offended by this, especially Africans in countries where it is absolutely not a shithole, and it speaks volumes to the level of understanding that this president lacks having about various countries. I mean, many people went on to say, look, the Haitians have given us many things that it's not just a shithole country. And Africa, many countries within Africa have demanded an apology, which said later on Donald went on to try and deny that he had said such a thing. But given his history of being quite offensive, saying that to grab women by the pussy, that his daughter was a nice piece of ass, things like that. It's not unbelievable that he would say this. I mean, it seems to be a pattern with him that he looks down upon anyone who isn't white and rich and like him. So, you know, it actually caused further disapproval of the leadership here in America. But more than that, it was offensive. It is offensive. And it speaks volumes to the reason that he doesn't want to continue DACA, because it's about racism. This man is full of racism and bigotry and hate. He likes to stir the turmoil country and try to divide us into groups. You know, I recall when he was talking about in Virginia, the Nazis that had marched through the streets. One of the things he said was, and there was some very fine people there, quote unquote. So he's saying very fine people about Nazis. Meanwhile, he's saying that Africans come from shithole countries. And why do we have to take them? Why can't we get people from Norway? And Norwegians were quick to say, listen, we don't actually want to come there. Our country is actually better off than your country. We have better health care, we have better social standing, we're not as divisive. And let it be known that, no, they don't want to be here among such lowbrow ideologies. So I think that profoundly affects the way that people look upon our country, and it speaks further to the problems that we have with this administration. The problems of hate and division and cruelty and racism and bigotry. And I think that we need to wholeheartedly be shocked and reactive to this, because it's only going to get worse. As we become more and more numb to the kind of things that he is portraying us to be and perpetuating, you know, he can only be more emboldened, and we don't need this man more emboldened to be as hateful as he thinks it's permissible to be. And I think that that's one of the things the Republicans are doing by sitting there silently on the sidelines and defending him, is emboldening the kind of fascist ideologies that he's spewing. So overnight, a couple of things have come to light, and I want to get into those real quick. Literally within the last 15 minutes, it has come out that Sessions was interviewed by Mueller. So we're going to wait and see, because it seems to me that if you go and you are interviewed by Mueller, typically within a short period of time, a couple things happen. You either wind up with charges or you wind up rolling over. Now, that isn't 100%, because he has interviewed quite a few of the people surrounding Trump. But then a second thing came up, and it said that it has been confirmed that Mueller is looking at Trump for obstruction of justice. So that is literally just hot off the presses, and it's going to be developing. I'm really interested to see where it goes. He has clear evidence and signs, and I think that if he gets the right people to roll over, i.e. Jeff Sessions, that he could make a clear-cut case, and moving forward, we could see possibly him being charged with obstruction of justice. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to be impeached or removed. Likely this Republican Congress will stand with him still, which is why the vote in November is going to be so absolutely vital. Because if you are sickened by him, like I am, then you're going to want rid of him. But you're also going to want rid of all of his cronies and the people who enable him. Because, he can't just do these things to our country without the aid and permission of other people surrounding him. So let's be clear. You got to get out and vote. Voting is the most important thing that is going to happen in this country this year. People standing up and using their voices for the power of the people to take. Couple more things. One is that, you know, a Republican senator was touting on Twitter that he had dined with Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch last night. And it begs the question, is this what we want? And I asked myself, okay, so say that a Democratic senator said, I dined with Ruth Bader Ginsburg last night. Now, it doesn't necessarily say that, you know, we know that she has liberal standing. We know that she's liberal, okay? But the problem is, and given to Gorsuch, and now he's dining with senators, and the senator makes mention in this that they're talking about, you know, the policies of the country. Well, wow, okay, because it kind of triggers an alarm in my head that says to me, okay, so you're talking about policies, and, you know, I think that it's one thing to have dinner with somebody because, you know, possibly maybe you were friends before this ever happened, maybe you were colleagues, maybe you went to the same college, fine, great, grand, okay, but when you start talking about things like you're talking about the policies of this nation, and you're with someone of your same party, you wonder how much influence they're having, especially when that seat was stolen, given to you. You accepted that stolen seat and then went on to dine with these people who stole you the seat. Speaks of a different kind of story, okay? This didn't go through the normal process. This was, you know, something stolen from the Obama administration. It just rings alarms in my head and says that this isn't normal, this isn't normal behavior, and this isn't what we want from justices. We do need a division, a line of division between bodies of government where we feel like they can't all join the same team, you know, and create their own set of justice. Because I don't believe that a Democrat who goes before a Democrat, liberal, progressive, whichever, that goes before the Supreme Court justice is going to get the same level of just ruling as a Republican feels that they would or better based upon the fact that he's being, you know, wined and dined by Republicans who stole him a seat and then let him go ahead and take it, and he was fine with that. That's my opinion. I could be wrong, but I doubt it, because seeing the way that this administration has been run and the anger that they have with the Ninth Circuit, the number of cases that they're finding themselves getting overturned, and then I think that they want to take it to the higher court, because getting it to him, and especially if they have, you know, kind of wined and dined him into their corner, might mean that these guys get the answers that they long for against the will of the people. And this is another reason that voting is so incredibly important. All right. So, another thing that came out today is that Melania will not fly with Trump to, it's called Davos. It's a meeting of the richest of the rich, where they go to hobnob for 1 week with each other. And I'm not sure what happens there. I'm pretty sure that they, you know, talk about business and policy and plans, and, you know, it's kind of a rallying for those with absolutely more money than in some instances brains. Donald's going to be there, so that's probably more than likely. And most presidents in the past have, you know, kind of steered clear of this because of the whole implications of being with the richest of the rich. It kind of looks like an elitist movement. But, of course, Donald, being an elitist himself, who lives in a gold-colored tower, okay, this is gaudy gold-plated tower, of course would not miss this meeting, because I'm sure he wants to continue that. And to do so, he has to continue to hobnob with the richest of the rich. Now, Melania isn't going to fly with him, and this is its own story. The reason being is likely tied to Stormy Daniels and the drama which has arisen from finding out that Trump had an affair with her in 2006. Now, this has not been fully confirmed, but it's about 90% there. The money trail leads back to the Trump campaign, who a week after he was elected president, he, not personally, but his campaign, transferred $130,000 to his business. His lawyer set up a front to transfer $130,000 to Stormy Daniels. He put his name on it. The line of the money moving has, the trail has kind of been fully found. And the lawyer who said, no, this never happened, they found out his name was on this business front and that he did the payout. So Melania is a no-go. Apparently, you know, she's not happy about finding out that, you know, she had just had her son, and he was running around with a porn star. Now, you look at the contradiction in who treated who how. I mean, Michelle Obama said that Barack tucked her in at night, as opposed to Donald, who's tucking into a porn star. Not to his credibility, he's disgusting, okay? So while one president is kind enough to tuck his wife in, the other one is just unkind enough to decide that his formerly pregnant wife looks like things are sagging, stretched out, and out of place. Wow. And this goes further to speak to, you know, his attitude towards women and other people, that Trump is very selfish and self-centered. And another thing that happened, you know, because when there's a front story going on, when there's something in the foremind of Americans, which is drama, like the Stormy Daniels situation, which I'm sure will eventually be confirmed, because they were, you know, there were media outlets ready to do a story on this, and they were ready to go. And then, of course, the lawyers got a whiff of this, and they paid her hush money to go away, to not do the story. She signed a non-disclosure for $130,000, which was probably what, you know, I mean, one way or the other, this woman was going to get paid. But she chose to shut down the story and walk away with $130,000. Now, like I said, when there's something happening in the forefront of this country, there's something happening in the back that's usually more offensive and terrible. And that would be that Donald Trump has decided to sign off on the tariff. I believe it's 23% tariff on solar panels. Now, I'm sorry, I was wrong. 36, no. It's 23. Anyhow, it is going to cost thousands of jobs in the country because apparently we are importing those solar panels, then, you know, using them to put up, it's creating renewable energy jobs. I'm going to look further into this, but yesterday I saw a story about, it was about Rick Perry meeting with a coal executive to try and influence policy so that it benefited coal. Pictures were released and someone was fired over it. And I got to look up this story further. But I did see that, you know, and I moved on from it. But today it actually links up to something more important, which is that would be why, you know, Donald is doing this. Because, of course, I'm sure that Rick Perry has had conversations with Donald Trump. Sure that there are coal executives, coal people who are donating to his campaign, seeing as how he made all these promises to coal countries. Now, the thing is, and to remember here, is that solar power, once installed, and renewable resources continues to be used. The problem being is if it's cost prohibitive, then people choose, you know, the other method. Coal has been dying. Okay, I don't think that this is going to bring coal back from the brink of where it has moved to. But like I said, these coal executives meeting with Rick Perry and then Trump doing this speaks volumes about what is actually happening in this administration, that money motivates them. And they are very oil executives, coal executives, definitely speak to what's going on in the background. And after the shutdown, now this is another story, Trump's approval rating has dropped to 36%, and 60% of the people disapprove of him. That's pretty astounding right there. It continues to drop. I hope it does continue to drop. I hope that more Americans come to their senses. But we'll see as time goes on. Now, another thing that happened is that Carrier, who had promised to save jobs when Trump was there, and the people were all happy about it, they're stepping up and saying how unhappy they are because now, regardless of what Carrier had said before, they are eliminating the jobs. They're still sending them overseas. So the people who turned and voted for Trump have found out that he really did nothing for them. Those jobs have still been eliminated. And these are very important jobs. These are well-paying jobs. They're union. And to see them leave this country, of course, is a devastating thing. But these people were duped, okay? Because some of us already understood that Trump isn't that businessman. That even though he promised all these kickbacks for a Carrier, it doesn't matter because if a company wants to send their jobs overseas and they know that they can get away with it because in this country, as long as you have your main headquarters here in the United States, you can import, export, and relatively not pay that much taxes. It's why all the jobs have moved overseas. That in a number of things. Jobs want more profit than they want to pay out for employees. And that's not the employee's fault. You know, anyone should be able to demand a good living. And these companies want to pay stockholders and board members and CEOs millions of dollars a year, and they don't want to pay their employees a living wage so that they can survive. It's very disturbing. But, you know, you have to be so narrow thinking that you would align with that kind of voting, because if it's just about you and your job, you really aren't looking at the big picture, because all of these things are kind of like incorporative to each other. So when he kills 23,000 23,000 solar jobs, right? That's millions of dollars. When he creates a problem where Mexico moves who they get their corn from, that's more corn sitting in the fields rotting or not sold. That drops the price of corn. Dropping the price of corn causes the farmer to not be able to pay his mortgage, to pay for his equipment, to buy what he needs to buy. It sounds like it might be a good thing for us, but overwhelmingly what happens is that then, you know, smaller farmers, farmers that are local, don't benefit from that, because instead of the price they could have gotten for their corn, they're getting less. And that means less money for a household, all of that, like I just said. So what happens then is you see some farms will collapse. And the collapse of those farms will cause the next year a corn shortage, which will raise the price even higher here at home. That will cause the price of, you know, corn to raise exponentially, which will cause, you know, milk and other prices to raise that are, you know, anything that, that consumes corn, then beef, milk. It will affect eggs too, because chickens tend to eat corn. So you're looking at those prices going up, and then that's when we get into another recession, because Americans can't afford to pay $4 to $5 a gallon for milk. So this is a cascade effect. So though you don't think about it long term, you have to kind of get used to that, because what happens now doesn't just happen in the here and now. It happens in the long term and down the road. Okay? So the policies that Trump is implementing, the things that he is doing, is the kind of things that got us into a huge economic collapse before, and the fact that people didn't pay attention to how this happened is what's going to lead us right back there. Already, banks are changing their policies so that they're charging fees. Say that you're a person without much wealth, right? You don't hold $1,500 to $5,000 in your bank account, which I know most of us don't. And then you, say you lose your job. You're out of work for a couple of months. No paycheck is coming in. Suddenly your bank starts charging you fees. Okay, so when it makes the least amount of sense to do so, banks charging you fees. Bank of America and PNC are two of them that I know of who have moved to this. So if you're not depositing, Bank of America said, it's $150, which doesn't sound like much, but it is much whenever you, you know, don't have the resources coming in. PNC, $500. So, you know, this is another tax on the poor, because basically saying, well, if you are not putting your money into us, we get to charge you for being too poor to afford our services. So you really have to stop and think about that, because these banks follow the policy of what they're allowed to get away with. And because of Republicans not holding Wall Street or the big banks to the fire, because of them changing regulations, because them allowing regulations to lapse, you're going to see more of this. Already, parasitic loans are on the rise. You know, we're headed right back towards what we were, and you can see that. I see it around me happening. Fortunately, I'm one of those people who, you know, my life is, I would say, stable enough that I don't have to rely on such things. Pardon me. But there are people out there who are in severe and dire need, and to rely on such mechanisms as overdrafting or getting these payday loans. And for them, this is devastating, because I've heard that the payback to these payday loans is phenomenal. I haven't had to experience it myself, but I'm telling you, when something tells you it doesn't need a credit check for you to deal with them, you should instantly be aware and alarmed, because I know credit checks are a pain in the butt, and this whole credit history thing is very sharky and, you know, it's kind of like muddy water, your credit, and see what you actually have going on than to not, because as soon as they're not, they're going to be charging you so much more for not checking. Then what happened in the last depression was that these guys were then taking bets. They were placing a policy on you so that they thought that you wouldn't pay off whatever it was that you got. And then whenever you couldn't, because the phenomenal payments, they actually benefited twice from that. They got to repossess whatever it was, house, car, boat, whatever, and then go ahead and resell it and also benefit from a policy which said, look, I don't believe that they're actually going to be able to make it through this. So it's disingenuous. It's dealing with the customers in a shoddy way. And I don't believe that they should be allowed to do it. But as I said, Republican policy, we're almost done here for today. And the wrap-up is pay attention. Because, you know, instead of Trump working on the State of the Union and how we're doing here at home, he's heading off to DeVos to hobnob with the richest of the rich, the most elite people on this planet. Other countries are irately angry at America, and especially the president, because he has called some of the countries shithole countries. Other countries are offended because why would he say that about them except for, you know, racism. His approval rating is down. He wants to kill solar. This is something we need to take care of. You know, people are looking into now that he might have violated campaign laws because he used campaign cash to pay Stormy Daniels to keep silent. So, seeing where that goes, I'm very excited about the Department of Justice, you know, looking into obstruction of justice with Mueller and all. I think that that would be one of the best days in the last 2 years. So keep a lookout. We're going to see where this goes. I'm hoping for the best, which is that he at least gets charged with obstruction of justice. He can't pardon himself, I don't believe. But the problem is that then we got to get Republicans out of there so that we can proceed with impeachment. I know that one of the senators has put forward to censure Trump, but it's likely not to go on right now because the problem is, once again, that there is a Republican majority. Republicans were responsible for the shutdown. Mitch McConnell has said he will look at DACA in the next 3 weeks and see if they can come to a deal. Schumer has rescinded today his offer to fund the wall, which he should, because there should be no wall. We can't afford $18 billion worth of a nasty, offensive wall. And so going forward, there is your daily update. I hope you take it from there and go with it. And I hope it empowers you to feel like you want to do something for the resistance and make this country a better place. I think that we're all going to benefit once we're caught up together, once we understand where we need to be and where we're going. So until tomorrow, hopefully tomorrow, I hope you have a wonderful day and you take care of yourself. Thank you for joining me at the Pink Atheist. Look for me on Twitter. And it's Rachel Osiris. I'm on Facebook under just Rachel Johnson. Look me up. If you have any comments, please feel free to either tweet them to me, post on Facebook something that you heard here on the show, or just send me a message here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining me and have a good day.